The future of world trade has been thrown into uncertainty by President Donald Trump's rejection of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, says former US Trade Representative Michael Froman. In this podcast, Froman considers the trading void in the Asia-Pacific region and the growing influence of China. He also contemplates the trade priorities of the Trump administration and the future of Europe in light of Brexit. Froman served from 2013 to 2017 under President Barack Obama. He's also a former Deputy National Security Advisor for International Economic Affairs. He begins by reflecting on President Trump's withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
I think the decision to pull out of TPP was a terrible mistake, and I think historically will really be seen as a self-inflicted wound of the First Order. Having said that, I'm actually quite optimistic. I think that as we look at what is being discussed in the renegotiation of NAFTA, a lot of it is based on TPP. Mm-hmm. We see that the other 11 countries that are part of TPP are actively considering moving ahead to put it in place in part or in whole, because they value the rules that we all negotiated collectively. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a U.S. Template per se. It was negotiated among developed and developing countries, large and small, Asian, Oceanic, Latin American, North American, and it really represents a collective view of what 21st century rules should look like. And I'm optimistic that those rules are going to find their way into effect, maybe not as cleanly and elegantly as we designed it, but ultimately will have a positive effect on the global trading system. I think it has very much undermined U.S. credibility and leadership in the region in the short run. But I think it will really depend over time what the U.S. does as an alternative. Mm-hmm. We warned, and we're now seeing it play out in real time, that if TPP didn't move forward, we're basically creating a void in this region. And this is a critically important region, the Asia-Pacific. Mm-hmm. And other countries, like China, are very happy to fill that void, define the rules of the road in a way that plays to their interests rather than necessarily our values. We've gone through that first phase of pulling out and people adjusting to that. Over time, the United States and the Trump administration will have to figure out what is its strategy towards this region.
Froman also considers the growing reach of China as the U.S. repositions itself in the Asia-Pacific.
The nature of the Asia-Pacific region is still uncertain. It can be defined as the Pacific Rim, Trans-Pacific in character, or it can be defined as China-centric in character. Mm-hmm. And I think the steps that the Trump administration have taken have probably put a thumb on the scale in favor of the China-centric mm-hmm. view of Asia. This has been a very good year for China, I think, in the region. In January, President Xi went to Davos, declared China to be the leading defender of the open, mm-hmm. rules-based free trade system. But I think China has also China has a regional strategy. Mm-hmm. They become much more adept at using both soft power and hard power. And when you look at the combination of the One Belt, One Road initiative, the Silk Road Fund, the Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank, what they're doing in the South China Sea in terms of staking out territory, and RCEP, that combination of initiatives, I think, is a very powerful combination that leads other countries closer to them or leads them to model Chinese behavior if there's no alternative. Mm-hmm. TPP was never about containing China or anything of that sort. It was about providing an alternative and making sure the countries in the region who saw that they wanted to have higher standards and build an economy around higher standards that could attract the kind of high-quality economic activity that they're all looking for, that would be provided in TPP. Mm-hmm. And without that, we've created this void where the only alternative is really the China-centric one. We need other countries to step up. China has been wonderfully disciplined mm-hmm. about pursuing its national self-interest in the most narrowly defined way and being a free rider in many respects on a system that has benefited them enormously. Now they're the second largest economy in the world. They have a seat at the table. They need to pick up part of the check. They need to play their part and support the system, even if it means making short-term compromises for the sake of that system. China, of course, has enormous challenges of its own, and its leadership is wrestling to deal with those challenges. And so I do think there is still the opportunity for the U.S. to play a very active role. We've been a Pacific power, for a very long time. Now the question will be, how will the Trump administration reposition the United States in that regard.
Assessing the Trump administration's trade priorities, Froman ponders the uncertain future of the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership.
International relations is the ultimate reiterative, multi-party, multi-issue negotiation. You can't just walk away as you can from a bank or a set of contractors after a real estate deal and find another bank and another set of contractors to work with. You need these countries on and these partners, whether they're allies or competitors or even adversaries, you need to be able to work with them on one issue after another. And in that regard, it's difficult to reduce these issues to individual transactions. They've not rejected TTIP completely. And in fact, they've signaled at times that maybe that is a type of agreement that they'd be willing to pursue. The priority of the Trump administration appears from the outside to be the renegotiation of NAFTA, first and foremost. Perhaps the renegotiation or recalibration of the agreement with Korea. And then on the trade side more generally, we've got to deal with China in an ongoing basis. It's not necessarily negotiating an agreement, but it's dealing with the challenges that trade and investment with China pose. They've talked about potentially doing something with Japan, something with the UK. I think the reality is even one or two of these things, like the renegotiation of NAFTA, may end up using up so much energy, time, and political capital between the renegotiation itself, if it's successful, and then ultimately getting it back through Congress, which is a whole other set of challenges, that it's hard to imagine TTIP getting done in the short run.
Froman remains optimistic about the future of Europe, but raises concerns over investment in the UK following the Brexit vote.
I think the EU itself is going through a bit of an upswing, a bit of a renaissance. I think the result of the elections in France and in Germany, even though perhaps Chancellor Merkel was weaker than she was before, but some of the more nightmarish scenarios didn't play out. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a desire to continue to rethink EU reform and how to prepare the EU for the next phase of its evolution. So in some respects, I think the EU, 2 years ago, we were all talking about the crisis of the EU and how they couldn't get anything done. Now they may be the prettiest house on an ugly block by comparison to the US and others. Mm. I think the biggest challenge, of course, is Brexit. And there's just so much uncertainty and chaos within the UK. I worry that the UK and the EU will be stuck in a very difficult set of dynamics for some time to come, many years potentially, and that will also affect the UK's ability to engage more globally. Hard to imagine if you're sitting in a C-suite someplace proposing to make a major investment, how a manager is going to go to their CEO or their board and say, we really think we ought to put this multi-billion dollar investment in the UK right now, just given the uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And that kind of overhang, I think, could be quite damaging.